All right, let's get started. Bruchim Habaim, everybody. Welcome back. I hope everyone had a lovely winter break or vacation or just some weeks in the middle of the winter that everything continued as normal. I don't know. So before the break, Well, first off, I want to say yashar koach to everyone for coming out tonight. It's not the nicest night out. It's the weather is slushy and icy and rainy and horrible. So really, kol hakavod to everyone for coming. Second thing, I will reiterate Renee's announcement for anyone who's listening to this recording. If you are enjoying these shiurim, you should feel free to go online to BethLida.org. And make a donation via the PayPal button there. Okay, now, before we left off, we finished the previous Ma'amar, which was an introduction to the idea of Taharat Midot. It was really talking about what it means to purify somebody, your character, and... Sorry. Okay.
I'm making an entrance here.
That's good. You're okay though? Okay. So, we were discussing what it means to purify midot, to purify character. And really when we were looking at it, we were talking a lot more on the level of getting rid of bad character traits. Now, that was the first ma'amar. I skipped ahead. Today we're going to be starting with the fifth ma'amar that the Netivot Shalom has dealing with Taharat Midot. And the reason I skipped to the fifth one is because the second, third, and fourth were continuing with that same theme of getting rid of negative midot, getting rid of negative character. And they all really restated many of the themes we had discussed previously. Now, while there's always value and always use in getting more in-depth into those same ideas and really taking each idea that we discussed and really going more into it, and really breaking it apart and hopefully breaking ourselves apart a little bit to clarify those midot, he continues in the fifth ma'amar and the sixth and seventh as well with what he calls, and this is the title of it, Kinyan HaMidot HaTovot. Instead of just talking about breaking bad character, there's also an aspect of acquiring good character. And the two are not one and the same. That's what he's going to talk about. There is a concept, and this is really how he's going to start. It's based on Tehillim, Lamed Dalet, the 34th chapter of Tehillim, where it says, Sur Mera Ve'aseh Tov, turn from evil and do good. And these are generally understood as two separate things. On the one hand, you have Sur Mera, turn away from evil. And on the other hand, you have Aseh Tov, do good. That's the way the Netivot Shalom is really going to look at it. We've until now spoken primarily about this idea of turning from evil, and now we're going to figure out how to do good, or how to work on this aspect of doing good. The Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Israel ben Eliezer, the Baal Shem Tov, founder of modern Chassidut, said that the two are actually one and the same. He says, Sur Mera, turn from evil. How should you turn from evil? Aseh Tov. Do good. One is a response to the other. The way I can best go about breaking my negative character, according to the Baal Shem Tov, is not just by fighting my negative character, but it's actually by going against it and by doing positive action. Right? The best way to break my anger isn't just by holding myself back from getting angry when I feel it coming on, but it's actually to express compassion. When I express compassion, I'm not just breaking my anger, but I'm taking it the rest of the way. Karen, I think you mentioned this in a previous time. We were talking about Kriyat Yam Suf and coming out of Mitzrayim, that we were on the 49th level of impurity, and then it took us 49 days to reach the 49th level of purity. So how is it that we traversed 96 levels within half that time within 49 days, and it's because with each movement away from impurity, we also attained a level of purity. And it's kind of this idea of through the Aseh Tov, you achieve the Sur Mera. So that's part of my logic in saying we don't need to go any deeper. We have to understand Midot are the source of ourselves. Midot reach that deepest place within us. So we talked about negative character. We talked about the idea of the Talmidav Shel Avraham versus the Talmidav Shel Bilam HaRasha. And we talked about really needing to fix this foundational level, and primarily through breaking of negative traits. Now we're going to really look at this idea of acquiring positive traits. And for us, we're going to take that and say, by acquiring the positive, we're actually going to be breaking the negative. Okay? So let's proceed. I hope everyone has a text in front of them. There should be plenty to go around. And he begins as follows. Tikkun Taharat Hamidot Mitchalek B'Shtei Chalakim. The fixing and purification of character is broken into two parts. Tchila Sur Mera. First, you have turning away from evil. Akirat Hara V'Amidot Hara'ot HaMushrashot Bo. To uproot the evil and bad character, evil character that a person has rooted within himself. V'charkach, and only afterwards, asetov, doing good. Kinyan hamidot atavot, acquiring positive character. So again, this is how he sees it, this is how most people see it. This is not necessarily how the Baal Shem Tov sees it, and I ascribe to a lot of the Baal Shem Tov's teachings, which is why I'm kind of jumping to here. Right. Even after a person has distanced themselves from negative character, and they've already banished the evil power that's within them, this is fundamentally just a great preparation for acquiring positive character. Breaking bad character isn't something that should be an accomplishment in and of itself. That's not the end. It's only a preparation to become good. Right? And that's what he's going to spend most of today talking about. Ach tzarich od yegi'a rabba v'atzuma liknot hatov bekirbo. A person needs great exertion and deep exertion in order to acquire good within him. Right? It's not just about not being a bad guy. You also have to be a good guy. Right? People all the time like to say the idea of, you know, I'm fine, you know, I don't really need mitzvot. I don't do anything to hurt anybody. I'm a good enough person. Right? I don't hurt anybody. Right? Is that what we expect from ourselves? I'm not hurting anybody. That's as far as I want. I may not be helping anybody. I might not be doing anything positive in the world. I'm not hurting anybody. Is that really as far as we want to take it? And he's saying, no, that's not what it's about.
That's a big achievement for somebody that is evil.
For somebody who's evil to say, I'm not hurting anybody, that is a huge achievement. We're not talking about somebody who's evil here, though. We're talking about you and I. We're talking about evil character, right? Character that is damaging. And to say, oh, I've gotten over this thing, so I'm not hurting anybody anymore. Well, that's nice, and that's good, and it's important. You shouldn't hurt anybody. But at the same time, he's saying there needs to be more. Right? Inyan ze shayach b'chol hamidot atavot. And this is true with all good character. Hen elu sheben adam leboro, hen elu sheben adam lechavero, uvein adam leatzmo. This is true with all kinds of character traits, whether it has to do with a person and Hashem spiritually. It's not just I'm not transgressing mitzvot, but I'm also doing mitzvot, right? Or I'm not just breaking the law, I'm also acting to fulfill the law and to achieve in the law. Right? And when it comes to my interactions with other people, and this is the one that always gets me, ubena dam la'atzmo, and a person with themselves, right? We have a natural inclination to beat ourselves up for our flaws. And we have a much harder time celebrating our achievements. Right? Because I recognize in all my achievements, there's a flaw. Everything I've ever done good, it wasn't that good. And I'm much more inclined to that and to really second guess myself and to really say, is what I did really so great? And he's saying that, you know, look, there's a level of humility which we're actually going to talk about, but you shouldn't be beating yourself up. You should not. There is room to be positive with yourself and to recognize your positive traits and to do chesed with yourself, right? Anyway, we're going to keep going and we're going to see more of this idea. So he starts off, v'kigon midat anava. The first midah he's going to explore is that of anava, humility. Al yedei ze rak shlilat hageut. Va'adam sha'akar mitocho midat hageut, ve'ino mitkaya mikol makom adayin lo higia lichlal hasaga hamidat hatova. Hachna'a v'shvilut. Shezo mida atzmit ila'it. He says, anava, sorry, it's einza. This is, it's not, anava, humility, is not just getting rid of the negative character of pride. Somebody who gets rid of their pride, it doesn't mean they're humble yet. A person who has worked to get rid of their pride, fine, they don't have any pride when they don't boast, they're not right, full of themselves or boastful, but they still haven't gotten to that point where they can internalize and they've achieved the positive trait of hachna'a, of submission, and shvilut, lowliness, which is an inner and exalted level, right? This is what we're really going for. We're going for this deep, exalted level. I'm a big fan of this language, because deep feels like down and exalted feels like up, and we're saying they're this, right? It's a deep, exalted level of achieving true anava. It's something you have to work for. You have to work toward anava, not just to not be haughty, but you also have to work to be humble. And the way he describes it, he says, hachna'a, which is really submission, and we're saying submission to the will of Hashem, really. And even submission to your circumstance, not to fight circumstance. And shvilut is lowliness, and it's shvilut is a real sense of somebody else could do this better than I'm doing it. Not that I'm putting myself down. I recognize what I'm doing right, but at the same time recognizing that anything that I am doing, really it's from Hashem, and that if somebody else were in this position, this is the way we've described anava previously, this is the way Rashi describes the anava, the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, is that he looked at other people and he said, if you were in my position, you would be doing it way better than me. Not to say I'm doing a bad job, but you could do a much better job. Right? That's the way Rashi describes Moshe Rabbeinu's anava. And he goes on, he goes, V'harav HaKadosh, Rabbeinu Menachem Mendel Mevitebsk, the Vitebsk Rabbi, Zchuto Yagen Aleinu, Kava She'ein Lahasig Shum Davar Ba'avodat Hashem Rak Al Yidei Hachna'a. He says, the Vitebsk says, and established, that it's impossible to achieve anything in service of Hashem, except through this idea of Hachna'a, of submission. There's an interesting vort, I forget by whom, it might be Yaakov Meir Schechter, who is a big Brussover and a major thinker in the world of Jewish thought in Eretz Yisrael, and where he says that Eretz Kanaan, right, like Israel, Eretz Kanaan is Lashon Hachna'a, that in order to achieve Eretz Kanaan, to make it in Israel, you need to have a certain level of submission. Right, you can't fight Eretz Yisrael. You right, anyone who's ever, if you know, who made Aliyah or who's been in Israel and has said, "Oh, I'm gonna do this there," it never works out, right? When you get there, you have to say, "I'd like to do this," but you got to go with the flow. You have to submit yourself to where the land is going to take you, because you can't fight it. It's too strong. The power of Eretz Yisrael is too strong, and so really, it's something that somebody requires real hachna'a in order to serve Hashem on that level of Eretz Yisrael. It says, "Ubevaday shetorah kedosha meida al Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom shahaya anav meod mikol haadam asher al pnei adama," and the Torah itself clearly bears testimony to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all people on the planet. Ein hakavana rak shelo haya ge'e. When the Torah says Moshe was the most anav, it's not just saying he wasn't full of himself. Right? That's not much of a statement. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest leader, he wasn't full of himself. That's cute, but that's not something special. Right? Shezei Isur Gamur, it says that's totally forbidden. Obviously Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't full of himself. Obviously he wasn't full of pride. Uchama Amar Chazal, Dehavi Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. Sages teach about Ge'ut, about pride and haughtiness, that it's as though you're an idolater. Because somebody who really is so full of himself, the way the Gemara and Sota talks about it, that there's Hashem says, "Ein ani v'hu yicholin ladur beyachad." Hashem says, "He's so full of himself, there's no place for me to dwell." Right? When a person is full, there's no place for God inside. Right? It's they and God is kilu out there. Me, it's all me. My whole existence becomes me if I have ge'ut. So my worship, even if I seem to learn all day and go to shul and daven really intently, somebody who's so full of himself is praying to themselves. Not in the positive way of saying, "I'm going to change myself to serve Hashem." In the way of saying, "I'm so great." Right? When they're learning, they're saying, "Look at me learn." Not, "I'm serving Hashem by learning Torah so I can be a better person in the world," but, "Look at me."
How come they use so much abbreviation in like short? I would never know Moshe Rabbeinu.
Moshe Rabbeinu Olam Hashalom, yeah.
I would get so frustrated. That's why. Is the beginning of the book, there is like...
There isn't. There are books that have it. There are certain abbreviations. When you spend enough time learning, you just encounter them enough that you figure it out. And oftentimes with some books, you'll have an abbreviation that the first time it'll be spelled out, and the rest of the time's not. What's interesting...
Well, I'm trying to save the...
Yeah? Page. Yeah, well, I mean, remember that it wasn't just typed into a computer, right? None of these things were typed. They were written. And many of them were written in the middle of a shiur, in the middle of a class. So a person is just sitting there, writing notes. To write Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom takes time. To write Mem Reish Ayin Hey takes nothing. Right? It's four letters. So a lot of it is just really transcribing exactly what was written. An abbreviation you'll often see, which is in the next, which in the previous line is, Haya is right. Hey Yud, instead of the second Hey, they just put a chupchuk, right? So they're saving on the Hey, or like on the Dalid part of the Hey. So what are they really saving? So there's a certain aspect there which is dual. One is to say, yeah, I'm saving time because you know what the rest of the word is. You know it's a Hey. And the other side is that if you spell out that word fully, Yud Hey is one of the names of Hashem, so there's a certain sensitivity there as well. But that's a whole other thing. But yeah, look, there are books called Otsar Roshei Tevot, which, right, there are full volumes which just take every Roshei Tevot you could possibly think of and give you all the possible things it could stand for. And you learn by context what they are. And eventually you just get accustomed to seeing them. Because for the most part, there's a flow of what the Rashi Tevot are.
I've never heard Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom. That's very rare.
Not in Hasidic books. And not even Hasidic. Not in Parsha books. When you, in more modern Parsha books, that's often how Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to.
Really?
Yeah.
So when do you use Zichrono Livracha?
Zichrono Livracha is more for the average person. Often we'll talk about the Avot, Avram Avinu, Alav HaShalom also. For the average person, you'll say Zichrono Livracha. For Tzadikim, they say Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Zitzal. And for Admorim, Rebbes, they'll say, there's a very nice long one, which is Zayin Tzadik Vav Kuf Lamed Lamed Hey Hey, which is Zecher Tzadik Vekadosh Livracha L'chayeho Lam Haba. It goes on.
The Sephardi, they use it a lot.
Yeah. There's Sephardim use it a lot. Alav HaShalom is very big also within Sephardim Hasidic circles. Anyway, there's a whole Indian to who gets what, why, and when. And that's for another time. Anyway, so yeah, a lot of acronyms. So we said that somebody who's so full of themselves is Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. Ela shehaya lo et hatzad hachiyuvi shel midazo shehaya anav hachna'a v'shvilut ila'it. By Moshe Rabbeinu, there wasn't just a lack of pride, but he also had the positive side of it. Right? He didn't just not have the negative, he also had the positive of this attribute, which is humility. This submission and lowliness, this exalted submission and lowliness. Ukamosha katav Mahari Yavitz, which is Morenu Harav Yaakov Yisrael. Yisrael Yaakov. Morenu Harav Yisrael Yaakov Ben Tzvi, who's known as the Yavitz, or also more colloquially Rabbi Yaakov Emden was his name. He lived in the late 1600s, early 1700s, or I guess mid 1700s. As he wrote, Shemida zo anava lo timtsa ela b'mi shehishka remach evarav v'shusa gidav mehatorah asher hi tatzmiach b'libo hamida ha'elyona hazot she'amru aleha anava gidola mikulam. The only, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that this midah of anava, of humility, will only be found in a person who waters their body. Right? This is the language he uses, that waters their body, their 248 organs and their 365 sinews from the Torah. Right? They water themselves with Torah, and from that, within their heart grows this exalted level, this exalted character, which we have said about it, that anava is greater than everything. There is no greater midah than anava. Right? There is no greater character a person can achieve in the world than anava. What's one way that we know that?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Moshe. Right? Of all the things the Torah could have said about Moshe Rabbeinu, it calls him an anav. The Torah has nothing greater to say about him than he was an anav. That's again, it's this idea of watering something with Torah, right? When you water a plant, right, you don't water it and all of a sudden the plant grows and there's flowers and it's beautiful. You have to water it the right amount. If you water too much, it will drown. If you water not enough, it will dry out and die. It needs to be watered. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be taken care of. The plant needs to have enough time to digest the water and to take it and integrate it. And then it sprouts a little bit. And then you need to keep going and let it sprout more and more. And you always need to give the right amount. And the more there is, the more the more the plant grows, the more it can take. But even still, it can still be overwatered. What does it mean to be overwatered? Somebody who just learns and learns and learns and learns and learns, but they never take 1 second to integrate what they've learned. Right? There's a fun story of, you know, a yeshiva bachar, 17 years old, and he's running around the yeshiva yelling at everybody, I'm 17 years old and I just finished going through Shas for the fourth time. I've gone through the whole Shas 4 times. I'm only 17. And he's running around. He's telling everybody and grabbing everybody and disturbing every chavruta. I'm 17 and I've gone through Shas 4 times. And finally he gets up to the Rosh Yeshiva and he goes, Rebbe, I'm 17 years old and I've already gone through Shas 4 times. And the Rebbe looks at him and says, 4 times and you're only 17? He says, that's very impressive, but tell me something. How many times has Shas gone through you? Right? When we learn Torah, are we watering ourselves with Torah? Are we allowing it to integrate itself? Rabbi Yaakov Emden's statement here is very profound. He's saying if you want to achieve positive character, you have to water yourself with Torah, which means you have to nurture it. You have to integrate it. You have to make it part of who you are and grow with it. And by doing that, growing with Torah and recognizing the primacy of Torah and Hashem's will, that's how we truly can achieve anava. Again, it's the hachna'a and the shvilut. Right? Umashma'uta shel midat anava hi hidbatlut muchletet. And he says the reality, the meaning of anava, of humility, is being entirely nullified. Bechinat ein ve'efes lifnei kvodo yitbarach shemo. This, the aspect of being void and nothingness before Hashem. Kumosh nevar lahalan in netivech asidut, as I'll explain later further in the book. And I was thinking about this idea of hidbatlut muchletet. What does that mean to be fully nullified? I was actually having a conversation earlier today. When it comes to Chabad shlichim, right, people who are part of the Chabad network, the fact that they have no qualms going to Timbuktu, none. People who really have full buy-in, I mean, that's the holiest of holies, going to a place where there are zero Jews, just in case one day there's a Jew. That's, for them, what a schut, what an honor. Of course I'm going to do it. And it's not because it's good for me to do it. It's because this is a shlichut in the world. It's not about me. There is zero me here. If I had to choose, that's the last place I would choose. I would choose a big city where I have a good community and everything like that, where I have good schools to raise my kids. And some shluchim just take it with joy, pure joy. Because they've bought in on that level. The way, you know, Chabad talks about giving tzedakah, they say, there is no me giving tzedakah. I've never given a dime in my life. Every time I give tzedakah, Hashem is giving tzedakah. I'm just the vessel that Hashem's using. And if I don't allow myself to be that empty vessel to hand out that coin, so somebody else will be. I've done nothing. Hashem has brought tzedakah into the world through me entirely. That's one level of it. Then I thought about another level. And this is something that I only recognized earlier this week. So, oftentimes when people think of bris of chassidim, you think about the nanachs. The nanachs are the guy with the big white kippahs that say, nanach, nachman, nachman, meuman. And they're standing on vans with huge speaker systems, dancing to trance in the middle of the street. And I was thinking about that. They've bought into something also. And I always kind of thought it was a joke until earlier this week, something kind of clicked for me about it. And I said, there's a tremendous amount of bittul there. A tremendous amount of self-nullification. Why? Because I couldn't do that. To just forget what anybody's going to say or anybody's going to think and just say, I'm just going to dance because... I'm going to smile bigger than anyone smiled before and just dance in the middle of the street and grab a random stranger who's walking down the street and try to dance with them? Are you insane? Like, we're in a small group here. We all know each other. Is any one of us willing to just stand up and dance in this room right now? I'm not. I'm not ready to do that. I have too much self to be willing to do that and make a fool out of myself in a closed group, in a closed room with a group of people who I already know. And these people are willing to be so far beyond their own sense of self that they're willing to do that all the time in the middle of the street with strangers and have people point and laugh and say, who cares, because there's a kind of emet and joy in here. That's an incredible feat. To be so far beyond yourself. When he's talking about hidbadlut muhletet, it's really saying whatever I think doesn't matter. My whole purpose in this world is to serve Hashem. And it has nothing to do with what people are going to think. If it's going to take me an hour to daven in the morning, and so I'm going to be late for everything, if I'm going to be late for work, and my boss are going to look at me, and the people in the shul are going to look at me, so what? That's what I got to do to serve God. And for the most part, we don't have that so what, right? I still have me. And he's saying that that's anava. Anava is saying there's no more me. Everything I do is purely channeling godliness. Everything I do is being a pure vessel. Okay, we're going to take a 1 minute break, and we'll come right back. Tov. So we're picking up top of Tzadik Vav, second page. And he takes us to our second thing that he's going to talk about now. He says, V'chen midat ahavat Yisrael. And so too the positive character trait of loving every Jew. Shigam im einos sonei Yisrael, adayin hu rachok mehasagat midat ahavat Yisrael. Just because you don't hate Jews doesn't mean you love Jews. Right? I don't hate people. Okay, that's nice. Right? Doesn't mean you've achieved love. Shemashma utal ehov kol echad ve'echad miYisrael kigufo. The aspect of loving, of avat Yisrael, is to truly love each and every Jew as they are, kigufo, right, in his body. We have this sense that if only he was better, then I would have a much easier time loving him. Right? Oh, if only this Jew behaved like this or like that. If only he ascribed to the same kind of Yiddishkeit that I ascribed to. If only they didn't do all these averot, then I would love them. Right? If only they weren't so holier than thou, then I would love them.
But why pick just love the Jew and not love everyone?
Well, there is an aspect to love everyone too. He's talking about Ahavat Yisrael. Okay. And there is something to it. We're not going to get into it now, but the idea of... I mean, he's going to say, when you base it on the idea of V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha, we say re'acha is talking not necessarily about your physical neighbor, but it's talking about Am Yisrael. Right. Right? Now, there's actually a very deep concept, which is, you know, if to look at V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha and say, it is talking about my neighbor. Right? Think about who your neighbor is. Think about the person who's literally next door to you. Who, do they ever get on your nerves? I mean, some people are blessed. They have the best neighbors in the world. But some people look at their neighbors and they're like, ugh, really? I have to live next door to this guy? And it's saying, yeah, love him. Love him. Exactly the point. Maybe I don't hate him, but love him? Really? Yeah.
Okay, so what if you love them and you try to do the right thing and they rebuff you? How much is it your obligation then to...
If he rebuffs you, love him more.
Oh my God. And how many times do you have to do that before you say... I don't know if it's
forever.
Possible to...
Until you don't have any more love to give. and then try a little bit harder.
I have other people that appreciate my love.
Shine, that's... What we've been saying all along and what we're going to say again now. This isn't easy. And what we've said all along and what we're going to say again now is it's infinite. It's endless. This is not something that we're going to achieve. This is something that we have to work toward. And is it easy? If it was easy, the Torah wouldn't have to tell us to do it. If it was something that was intuitive, I'm going to just look at that guy next to me and love him with my whole heart and soul. If that was obvious to me, the Torah has no need to tell me that.
It doesn't deal with disappointment.
Huh?
It doesn't deal with disappointment.
When you love somebody, there's very rarely disappointment, like for real. When a parent is disappointed in their kid, they're not disappointed in a real way. They would have liked it. It doesn't affect the love on any level.
If you tried to be nice to your neighbor and you're getting rebuffed.
We're not saying be nice. We're saying love. There's a very different thing.
it says only one. Right? It doesn't let the achem. It doesn't. It speaks in the singular. Right? So it's very tough to even make to feel loving even one person. So. So it's a lifetime bent progress to love your neighbor. Don't worry about it. Sometimes you get and you live, and then you're fine.
Then he won't be your neighbor anymore.
Why did you define love?
Huh? You know, that's a whole other thing.
Probably you have to understand the meaning of love.
Well, so we're going to see that actually right now. So he goes on. He says, you have to love every single Jew. Right? And he puts in brackets. Right, the source, he says, Rambam Hilchot Deot, Perek Vav Halacha Gimel. Uve Sefer Chinuch, and the Sefer Chinuch, Mitzvah Reish Mem Gimel. And he says, the Sefer Chinuch says, Kotev Le'ehov Kol Echad Mi'Israel Ahavat Nefesh. The Sefer Chinuch says that the Mitzvah of Ahavta Recha Kamocha is to love every single Jew, really like a soul love, like to love them with your whole soul. To just really have a, what's the word? Like a chibuk, to just want to hug them, to want to really, to be so connected to them. Now, he did not quote the Rambam. I wrote down what the Rambam said. So here's what the Rambam says. It says, Mitzvah al kol adam le'ehov et kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael kigufo. So that's his quote. Shene'emar, as it says, "Va'havta l'recha kamocha." Lefichach. So therefore, tzarich sheisaper b'shivcho v'lachus al mamono. Therefore, you should speak a person's praises, and you should worry about their finances. Kemo shehu chas al mamon atzmo, v'rotze b'chvor atzmo. Just as you yourself worry about your finances, and you yourself desire people to honor you. Right? You should look to your neighbor, and you should speak positively about them. Right? This is what to the Rambam it means, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. To look to the person who's literally your neighbor. It could be your friend, but that's also chaverecha.
You can choose your friend.
All the more so you should love your neighbor. All the more so you should choose to love the one you didn't choose. Again, it's easy to love your friends. The Torah doesn't need to say, v'ahavta l'chavarecha kamocha. That's obvious. We're saying your neighbor. We're saying somebody who is... I think that's it. Who's not necessarily part of your inner circle.
But you're saying you should love them, but you don't have to be nice to them.
It's not you don't have to be nice to them. I know, I said that kind of in conversation. That's what it says is...
Approaching them, being try, you know, to...
Well, what it says here is to love them. It will support them, yes. Right? It doesn't need to say you need to be best friends with them. You have to love them, right? And it's so the way he says it here, you have to speak, the way the Rambam talks about it, you have to speak their praises, and you have to worry for their well-being the way you worry for your own well-being. The way you wouldn't want somebody to disparage you, you should fear for them being disparaged, even from you. Right? You don't. I don't want to be the one to speak negatively about my neighbors. Just as I don't want my neighbor to say bad things about me. I should worry about my neighbor's property and property damage and anything like that, just as I'm worried for my own property and property damage. Right? So he talks about a financial level and he talks about a personal level. On a financial level, yeah, it's seems easier, right? If he loses a lot of money, that should hurt me the way it would hurt if I lost a lot of money. And that's not so easy, but still. And then he talks about his honor and your honor. The way you want people to look at you and to look up to you and to say, you know, to look at you with eyes of appreciation. That's the way you should look to them. What are they doing that I can appreciate? Right? If I want them to appreciate my gestures towards them, what gestures are they doing in general that I can look at with appreciation? Again, we're not saying this is easy and this is going to be hard for some people because some neighbors are nebuch, not the people you would choose.
I guess it's going to be easy for me because hypothetically I've got four neighbors but they're not Jewish. So...
That's true.
I have one who is Jewish, so that one only I can focus on.
You can focus
and
primarily
the
on that.
I can ignore. So.
That's yes, exactly. No. look, the way we tend to look at humanity in general is that we're all creations. We're all creations of Hashem, and we need to take care of all of creation, and we need to respect every person, and every person's feelings. Right. I look to a persona like Shlomo Carlebach, who loved every created being. He just looked at everybody and said, you are an incredible soul that God brought into this world. God needs you in this world. He doesn't need you to fulfill the role of a Jew. He needs to fulfill the role of a non-Jew, and that's also a beautiful role. Right? Everyone has that inner beauty going for them. The mitzvah here is really talking about Jews. But it doesn't mean, therefore, ignore the non-Jew. We still have to act properly. That's a whole other sugya. We can spend shiurim talking on just how to treat people. We're just at this introduction of kinyan midot tovot, right? The introduction of acquiring good principles. And he goes, anyway, we're going to go on. We're about five lines down. He says, v'hainu pashut lehev befol kol yudi. He says it seems it should be simple, in actuality, to love every Jew. Right? Love Jews. Okay, great. I love everybody. Perfect, right? V'fligu b'midazo tzadikei adorot. And the righteous of every generation have argued and have fought about what this really means, to love every Jew. But what does that mean, right? All the stuff we're talking about now, which we said it's not so simple... Well, for everyone's always said it's not so simple. It's not even so clear what it means. Right, Umaran mi Kobrin, right, and our teacher from Kobrin, his name is Rabbi Moshe. He was the second generation of Slonim, right? He was a Talmud of the first Slonim Rebbe, and he was the founder of Kobriner Chassidut. Zchuto yegen aleinu amar al atzmo, right? What did he say about himself? Shahayano ten lenaser etzim al rosho, im titzmach mizeh tova leish Yehudi. He would allow people to saw wood on his head, right? To use his head as the support beam for sawing wood, if some kind of good would reach another Jew by that action. Velo hirsha lahagid acharav shum shevach, rak shahayah ohev Yisrael be'emet. And he wouldn't let anybody say anything good about him, except for that he truly loved Jews. He truly loved Am Yisrael. Uvesefer Sha'arei Kedusha, the Rabbeinu Chaim Vital, and in the book Sha'arei Kedusha of Rabbi Chaim Vital, Kotev Shelo Zacha Moshe Lechol Ma'alotav, Ele Shehaya Ohev LiYisrael Umitzta'er B'Tzaratam. He said that by Moshe Rabbeinu, the only reason Moshe achieved all of his levels and all of his anava, even, is because he loved Yisrael. He loved Am Yisrael, and he found pain in their pain, and he suffered with their pain. We have to think about what that really means. According to certain commentaries, when Moshe killed the Egyptian and ran away from Mitzrayim, he was 20 years old. And when he was called by Hashem at the burning bush, he was 80. That means for 60 years, he was at a distance from his brothers, and he spent that 60 years in turmoil over his powerlessness to do anything about their situation. He spent 60 years crying and despairing about the fact that there is nothing he could do to stop it. And it's only because of that that he achieved what he achieved, according to Rabbi Chaim Vital. Then the previous story about the Kobrinner reminds me of a story about the Baal Shem Tov. There was once a woman who was on her deathbed, and she told somebody, said, "Please bring me the holy Rabbi Yisrael, the Baal Shem Tov. I need to see him. I need to see him." And so they sent for him, and he got the message, and he came. And he looked at her, and he said, "What can I do for you?" And she said, "Rabbi, please bless me that I'm going to survive this illness." And he looked at her, and he said, "You'll survive this illness, and you will live a long life." She said, "No, please promise me." He says, "I promise you on my chelek in Olam Haba. I promise you, on my portion of the world to come, that you will get better and you will live a long life." And she smiled and said, "Oh, thank you so much." And so the Baal Shem Tov got back on his horse and set out on his 2-day journey back home. Well, he's on his way back home, and people come chasing after him on horses. Everyone's running. And they stop him, and they say, "What did you do? What did you do?" He said, "What do you mean, what did I do?" He said, "She died 5 minutes later." He said, "Yeah. But you gave her your chelek and olam haba. You promised on your chelek and olam haba that she was going to live." He said, "I would give up 1,000 chalakim in olam haba to bring hope to a single Jew." Right? But the concept of human relationships, of bringing hope to others, of caring for others, of showing that kind of love and compassion for the needs of another, to these greatest tzaddikim, it was more than anything. More than life in this world, more than life in the next world. None of that means anything if you're not bringing love to people. So we're going to go on. He says, "V'chein hu b'chol hamidot tavot." These ideas that we've been discussing hold true with every good character trait. Right? So far we've talked about anava, we've talked about avat Yisrael. He says the same is true with everything. "K'mo midat ha-chesed," like kindness. "V'vadai gam imeino ishra adayin lo kanad midat ha-chesed." Certainly, just because a person's not a bad person, doesn't mean they're a good person. Doesn't mean they're kind. And we'll talk about this more later. He's saying same thing with the joy. It's not just the negative side of sadness. Somebody who's not sad doesn't mean they're happy. They're not sad.
This looks like is the glass half empty or half full, right? It's sort of the same idea. You can look at it from a negative point of view, or you can look at it from a positive point of view.
He's saying there's more to it. He's saying kind of that, right? You could look at it from a positive point of view, but actually what he's saying is just because the cup isn't empty doesn't mean it's full. Right? Just because you look at the glass and you say it's half full as opposed to it's half empty, it's still not full. It's still somewhere in the middle.
Right?
And if you're trying to get above the halfway mark, just saying it's half full doesn't actually fill it. It's a perspective, and it might help you get to a place of filling it, to say it's closer to full than it is to empty, or I see it more full than I see it empty, even though there's no difference. It might help, but it still hasn't done it. Right? Just because a glass isn't empty doesn't mean it's full.
No, but there's still a perspective, the way you look at things.
Sure, there's a perspective, you know. But he's not talking about perspective. He's saying, tachlis, in actuality, just because somebody's not in debt, it doesn't mean they're wealthy.
It's kind of a neutral position.
Yeah.
Like you're not in drive, you're not in reverse. You're
yeah.
Like in that.
You're just there.
You're just there.
Yeah. You're not going anywhere. You're just kind of... Yeah. And he's saying everything we've been talking about until this point is to get us to neutral. To make sure that we're at least not moving backward. To make sure that we're at least not in debt anymore. But we still have no money in the bank. We're still not moving forward. We're still not accomplishing. We have a role to accomplish. It says, V'chen midat hazrizut. Same thing with alacrity, being compelled to act on things. Gam mi she'eino atzlan, mikol makom eino yachol leikare zariz. Av she'etzig midazo. Just because somebody's not lazy doesn't mean they're a go-getter. You have to actually go and do stuff to be a go-getter. To say, I do what I have to do and I'm not going to be lazy about it. Okay, that doesn't mean you're a go-getter. You're just doing what you have to do. V'hu kamo shematzinu b'she'elat Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai l'tamidav. And we see this example in the question of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai to his students, which is in the second chapter of Pirkei Avot. Pretty sure we discussed this in the previous series as well. It was in one of the first classes. Ezo hi derech tova shidbak b'ha'adam. Excuse me. What is a good way for a person to cling to? Ve'ezo derech ra'a shirchak mimenu ha'adam. And what is a bad way that a person should distance himself from it? Ki b'shlilat hara adayin lo mesiga tov. The fact that he had to ask them both questions shows that just because somebody avoids the negative side of the evil, they still haven't achieved good. Ken amru chazal, kol mi sheyesh bo shlosha dvarim halalu hu mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu, v'shlosha dvarim acharim hu mitalmidav shel Bilam HaRasha. Right? So too, as our sages have spoken, that any person who has three positive traits is a student of Avraham, and someone who has these three negative traits is a student of Bilam HaRasha. Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu, ayin tova, ruach nemucha, nefesh shefeila. The students of Avraham Avinu have a good eye, a lowly spirit, and or a humble spirit, and a lowly, also, soul, I guess. I don't know. Talmidav shel Bilam HaRasha, ayin ra'a, ruach gevoa, venefesh rechava. The students of Bilam, the evil one, have an evil eye, a haughty spirit, and a broad soul. Even if somebody is not a student of Bilam HaRasha, adayin eino mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu. It doesn't mean you're a student of Avraham. Just because you don't look at the world with a negative eye, looking for bad, it doesn't mean you know how to look for the good. You see the world as it is. That's fine. I don't see positive, I don't see negative, I just see the world. And I tell you what's in front of me. But it doesn't mean you're looking to draw out good. Just because somebody's not so full of themselves where they tell you they're the king of the world, doesn't mean they're a humble person. They're just kind of doing their thing and being par of being average. Raka asher yelo ein tova. The only time you achieve Avraham Avinu's, to be a Talmid of Avraham, is when you actually work to achieve this level of having a good eye, of drawing out the good of a situation, of looking to your neighbor and figuring out how to truly love them, of looking at yourself and trying to figure out how to truly be humble. Not just to not be full of yourself, but to actually be humble, which is the highest and most exalted and hardest thing of anything. We should all be blessed to take these steps, to start taking baby steps, to try to integrate some of this Aseh Tov into our life. And Bezrat Hashem, through the Aseh Tov, we can be rid of our Ra. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue next week with Ot Bet.
Thank you. That's a beautiful thing.